And welcome to the Mirror Project. We're your hosts, Alexandra
and Christine,
and we are so glad you are joining us. Today, we are discussing one of our favorite shared interests, books. We are both obsessed with the worlds that are created with words and a sprinkle of our imagination. Not sure about you all, but I'm still waiting for my letter to attend a magical university to arrive.
Before we dive into today's topic, like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform. Go ahead, pause, and do it now before you forget. Don't worry, we won't get started without you.
So let's jump into our first segment today, which is what started our obsessions. So Christine, what started your obsession or your journey with reading?
Well, so my journey with reading kind of had a rocky start. I struggled in school as a kid and always felt like reading was something difficult for me, and I had trouble finding the joy in it. But I would say once I was in middle school was when I found like that one series that sort of changed the game and made reading a true joy for me, and I just can't get enough of it. But how about you, Alexandra? How did your journey start?
Well, before we jump into that, I was going to say, for those listening, you should see the smile on Christine's face. You can just tell, like, the nostalgic memory is coming in. To paint a visual picture, it's just, like, somebody almost euphoric of, like, oh, memories of books. So I share a similar journey to Christine. I believe in our second episode is where we talked about mantras, and I talked about one of mine, which is, if I can't go through, how do I go over, under, and around? And that came from discovering that I had intermittent dyslexia when I was very, very young. So I hated to read. Things would jump around on the page. Teachers thought I was lying because sometimes the word saw, and sometimes it was, and it was just, you know, interesting reading, right? So my parents actually hired a math tutor to teach me how to read, and she worked with me for an entire summer. And my mom later told me the story about how the math teacher was like, are you sure you want me to teach her how to read? Like, I'm a math tutor. I don't teach English. And she's like, no, we've been told how awesome you are. I think you can do it. And she did. She taught me how to read, but I still hated that. And that was between, I would say, kindergarten and first. Mm-hmm. And I hated reading. I went up through private school in Southern California, and the one school that I went to from second to the first part of fifth grade, they would assign these reading lists that I thought were very dull for children. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not totally historical memoirs, but kind of historical memoirs of wars from the past. And I'm like, what? I hate this. Mm-hmm. I already didn't like reading. Why would I want to read that? So that was in fifth grade, and my parents decided to pull me out of that school and put me into a different school within the same private system, for lack of a better word. It was just a certain type of teaching style. Mm-hmm. And at first I'm like, I didn't want to leave my friends, but I went from getting like D's and F's in grades to getting A's and B's because the school I went to taught differently. And I was really lucky that when I went there in fifth grade, like you, Christine, I found a book that just changed my entire experience with reading. And the assigned reading lists for the new school I went to were difficult, but not as mind-numbingly dull, or at least what I would consider mind-numbingly dull. I went from below a fifth grade reading level to up to a college level of reading within 1 year. Mm. And that, I want to say, that was really due to finding a book series that ignited my passion for reading. Mm-hmm. And from there, I explored so much more.
Yeah. I had a very similar journey. Yeah.
Yeah. And even in school, when I had to read books that I didn't particularly, you know, care for, like, I'm gonna be honest, in high school, Frankenstein wasn't my favorite, but, you know, I was able to enjoyed the reading part of it, but whether or not the subject was actually interesting to me. So that was my journey with reading. So Christine, I know you mentioned that you had a series that changed your life in middle school. Yeah. So what series were you recalling?
Well, I don't know if it will surprise many people because it was very popular at the time and still is to this day. But that series I was talking about is Harry Potter. I picked Harry Potter up, I want to say, I can't remember if it was sixth or seventh grade, but I was gifted, my grandmother had gifted me either the first book, first two or three books, and I decided to give it a try. Up until that point, you know, I watched the films, I very much loved the films, and I had one of the books on tape, back when they were on, on cassettes, although it was the third book, so I don't know why, but yeah, I had the third book on tape, but I started reading it, and at the time, as I mentioned, I was, you know, I didn't have a love of reading. I, similar to Alexandra's journey, really struggled in school and had, I forget what the classification is, but a learning disability, and I went to a small Catholic school, so the resources weren't great, and I was reading below my reading level, but once I started Harry Potter, and I just fell in love with it, the whole world and the journey of following Harry and all of the antics he and his friends got up to, and over the course of 2 years, read through the whole series. I must have started in seventh grade then, because I remember reading those books, and then like from there I just couldn't get enough of reading, and I just kept picking stuff up, and yeah, that's what really, you know, lit the fire for me. But how about you, Alexandra? What series ignited your love of reading?
So the one that in fifth grade turned my experience with reading around, and it would probably surprise many people who know me today to realize that I hated reading, because as anyone can attest to, I have a ton of books, and not just like, she's got a lot of books. Like, no, I have maybe a bookstore's full.
I mean,
across all different media.
I'm surprised about it, but not a surprise, because we have a similar story, but yeah, it's kind of funny looking back on it.
But I'll meet people and I'll tell them like what I'm reading, and they're like, wait, you hated to read? What? So in fifth grade, and before this episode, in, you know, our planning of it, I really tried to find the book that I read, and for the life of me, I cannot find it. I don't have it anymore, and I couldn't find it online because I barely remember the title, but I feel like it was something along the, like, the Lazy Hazy Days of Susie Hayes or something like that. It was very rhymey, but I think it was about a girl, and she was the youngest in a family, and I feel like her dad was a fireman. But something about it really captured my attention, and I just went from there. And then I did read a lot of manga, which I liked because with a dyslexic brain, reading differently helped. I think when I first tried, like, started to learn to read, I read right to left, not left to right. Most, like, you would have done well had you been learning like maybe Hebrew or something like that, but it's not the language I was learning. So I don't know. I think the manga kind of just helped strengthen that part of my brain that looked at things differently, and also fostered my love of reading. But I got really into the genre of young adult fiction and like fantasy. Mm-hmm. And so another big series that started, I wouldn't say in fifth grade, but probably sixth or seventh, maybe eighth, was the House of Night series written by PC Cast and Kristen Cast. They're a mother-daughter writers. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it kind of just expanded. I did kind of enter the Harry Potter reading game a little late. I feel like I'm kind of one of those people that when something is really big, I will stubbornly avoid it just because I'm like, I don't want to just follow a trend. And so then when it kind of descends a little bit out of popularity, that's when I pick it up and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Yeah. And I started reading things by Jane Austen and, you know, sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I really do like the fiction genre. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the thing that helped. I was like, if I'm going to read something, I want to go into a world full of imagination and possibilities. I don't want to just necessarily reread about life here. But while we're on Harry Potter, Christine, what was your favorite book? Like, which storyline got you obsessed?
Yeah, it's so funny that you say you didn't want to hop on the trend. I very much hear that because I say that a lot today, and I tend to be late to the game. But for me, the Harry Potter book I loved the best, it changes, but I think it's a tie for me between the third and I think the third one wins out, but it's a close tie between the third and the fourth. I remember when I was reading the series, the fourth was my favorite. It just was like really fun to bring in all these different other magical schools and like see the world grow even more beyond Hogwarts. But when I look back on the series, and I haven't reread it, I only read it once. I do have the audiobooks, but I haven't gone back to that series since I was in middle school. And I kind of like that. It lives in the, it has this nice nostalgic memory for me. And looking back on that, I think the third one is my favorite, just because it's they're starting to be teenagers. It's like, you know, I really liked the introduction of Sirius Black, you know, at the end, that whole twist, and sort of learning more about Harry's parents through these other characters, because up until that point, these three kids were just getting into trouble at school. But this is like this, I feel like book three was the foundation, like it was the beginning of where the story was going to go. Yeah. So that's for me. But how about you? Do you have a favorite one?
Kind of similar to you, Christine. I'm trying to think of how I really got into it. So I think one of my first more experiences was with Harry Potter was a friend of mine at the time. Do you remember the Scene It games? The ones that you would play on the television?
Yeah.
Okay, so she had a Scene It, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Mm. Mind you, I had never read a book, never read a Harry Potter, never seen the movies, hadn't listened to them. And I somehow managed to beat her in that game. And I'm like, and she was obsessed with Harry Potter. I was like, how did you not know
this? How did I know it?
I have never
seen it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I was like,
that's really funny.
I was like, interesting.
Are you
so
psychic? Like you could just
I think I am. We could totally get into that another day. But anyways, so that kind of started it. It wasn't a huge fan of snakes, and that was like a big theme of that second one.
Was.
And I was like, but it was really seeing the third movie that got me into the series. Like you, it was kind of like the one that really piqued my interest. But if I had to pick a favorite book, it's probably the fourth one. I loved the detail. And I want to come back to this later in the episode where we talk about the transition of film, books to film or TV, because I have...
You have thoughts?
A thought about that.
Sure.
Particularly the fourth one. So if I forget, please help me remember, Christine.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Before we jump forward, I was thinking about other series that of the time, like I said, I went through Harry Potter, and then I remember I read Angels and Demons by Dan Brown. And I went to a Catholic school. I don't know how many times I've mentioned it at this point, but
just a few.
Anyway, we know this about me now, but I remember distinctly walking in, because like at school you didn't carry your backpack around. We just carried our books from class to class when we were in middle school. Kind of weird looking back on that right now, but I carried around my book with me. Because if there was some downtime, I would read. And I had I had Angels and Demons on top of my books. And I walked into my religion class. And my religion teacher just looked at me, judging me so hard, as you know. Oh, that Catholic guilt, man. But, yeah.
I think as only a nun could. You know?
She wasn't a nun.
Or were they? Oh, they weren't
nuns. No.
Oh, okay. Because when my mom went to parochial school, she had, right? Parochial school? That's another version? Anywho, she had a nun who was like, we give her the sign.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, she wasn't a nun, but she was a very devout woman and wasn't married. Like, she made the choice to just live her life and focus on religion, and that's beautiful.
Interesting reading choice, though, to bring to a Catholic school.
I didn't think about it. I didn't really think about it. I was just like, this is really cool. And it kind of was like, oh, all these... like conspiracies that are within the religion that I've been practicing my whole life up until that point. So I just wanted to share that funny little story. But then another one also not.
That was a good book.
It was. And I actually haven't read the other ones in the series. I've seen, because I know Da Vinci Code came out first, even though I think it came out after
Angels. It's the second book.
Came out,
I think.
After Angels and Demons.
I've read both of those, but I don't think I've read Dan Brown's, was the third one Lost Symbol or something?
Yes. And then there was Inferno.
I think I've only read those two.
Yeah.
Oh, haven't read that one.
Yeah.
Or seen it. I haven't seen that one either.
But, that's a book I want to bring up later when we talk about books to film, because I have thoughts. But another series that might not come to be a surprise, because I was in eighth grade when the Twilight movie came out, and girl, you know, I was
about to say, we can't do justice to this segment without talking about Twilight.
Girl, I was hardcore in it. I read, because also Breaking Dawn didn't come out until my freshman year of high school. So I remember reading the three books. The first movie came out. Breaking Dawn came out. And I still have all those books. And Breaking Dawn is the only one I have in hardcover. But
I don't think I have my copies anymore. And I had a full set in hardcover.
Yeah.
I do have them digitally, but I'm going to share something slightly embarrassing. I was a total tween at the time. I think I saw the first movie 5 times in theaters. And it was so bad. Like, objectively, the movie was terrible.
And I watched those movies back recently because I got swept up in this nostalgia. I don't think I'll read the books again, but I was like, I gotta watch these films again. And oh my god. It's so good. Like, it's so bad, it's good. Like, that's the level for me.
Some of the really cringe moments of acting, though, in the first one, I'm like, oh.
Yes.
Okay, I would say, I would recommend, if you have time, giving the series a reread through as an adult, very different perspective, I feel like, than when I was a teenager.
All right.
So
that's good.
I was like, okay, maybe I have a bit more interesting perspective of going into it. So I would recommend, and I would almost think that would be the same with any, like, childhood favorite, kind of going back and rereading and see what characters you still resonate with, and other ones you're like, oh, I hated you when I was little. I kind of get it now. Mm-hmm. Or like, nope, you're still terrible.
Yeah. Yep. And then just speaking on that, jumping back to Harry Potter for a second. The fifth Harry Potter book, it was the fifth one. I hated it at the time when I read it, probably because I was like 13, 14, like almost 15 at the time that I was reading it. And I just like, this is awful. But it was probably because I was going through what Harry's going through. Like, he's an angsty teen. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's like, holy shit, I'm an orphan. And all of these people around me keep dying. And I'm suddenly like, I got all this pressure on my shoulders being the chosen one. Anyway, so just to your point, I think maybe one day I'll go back and try and reread book 5 of Harry Potter, but...
Well, I know we've talked about it enough. We've talked about different formats. So in this first section, why don't we dive into what are our preferred formats, either, you know, paper, hardback, audio, or digital, and what are our pros and cons of each format?
Well, I'm happy to dive in first. So I have been and always will be a ride or die fan of physical books. I love them. I love the smell of them. Like, a kind of weirdo, and I love to just smell my book my book every once in a while, because it's like
the you guys just picture Christine in a corner huffing a book, just like,
oh gosh, yeah, that's high. Getting high on books. No, I just love the feel in my hands. And behind me, I'll paint the picture. Behind me is just a bookshelf, basically floor to ceiling, full of my
mostly hardbacks. You do have some paperbacks in there.
You know, it's kind of funny. There, I do have, I would say I'm probably 50-50 with hardbacks to paperback. Maybe it leans a little more one way. I'm not totally sure.
So you haven't counted?
I haven't in a while, and I've gotten some new books recently, so yeah, I don't know where I'm at currently, but I've also, like, offloaded so many in the past. Like, I've shared some with friends and donated a bunch, but yeah, so I've always been a ride or die fan of physical books. I would say in the last
Seventeen. 2017 we graduated. Oh, gosh. Right?
Yeah. 2017, we graduated. So since then, I started dipping my toe into audiobooks. I got, like, an Audible account. Mm-hmm. And my enjoyment of audiobooks has only grown since then, because I used to have, like, an hour's commute to work one way and drive around a lot. I feel like I'm always driving somewhere. So I love to pop on an audiobook and have enjoyed a lot of series actually that way, instead of reading physical books. And in the last couple of years, I've read a handful of books, physical books, but they've mostly been audio. So those are my two favorite. Mm-hmm. How about you, Alexandra?
It's kind of a three-way split for me, pretty evenly. Mm-hmm. I love physical books. I almost want to say I enjoy that paperbacks are lighter than hardbacks, but I like hardbacks because they, like, don't splay and, you know, kind of get bent corners and kind of funky. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just love the look of sometimes the old leather bound books. So there's a couple. I did not write down their names, but the Instagram accounts where they, like, rebind books. I'm just like, oh,
very popular.
Beautiful.
Right now. Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of a skill I'd love to learn.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what for, but, like, it would just be kind of fun to do it yourself.
I just have a quick anecdote about that, because back, like, I don't even know when, but long ago, that's when you bought a book, you bought a book unbound. So you went and you had your book bound so that it fit the library that you had. And I feel like that's become a thing again. People buy the paperback and then they, you know, rip off the cover and bind them again.
Speaking of, I can't remember the company, but we were talking about Harry Potter earlier, and there was a company that you could order the full set of Harry Potter books and I think a couple other series, but it wasn't a super expansive list. And you could say, I want it in blue leather or brown leather, whatever material they use, and how you wanted it bound. And that was before, I think, that revitalization of, like, people rebinding their books. Mm. So that just made me think of that. Like, you know the library from Beauty and the Beast?
Yes. Oh, I do.
I want that library. I want Same. That library.
Girl.
With Same. All the beautifully bound books. So, but from my move from California to New Jersey and down, I offloaded so many books. And some, I'm very sad, I let go. Yeah. And I'm like, So I love paper hardback. My one downside is that because I do love to read so much and I read quickly, I can only carry so much with me. I remember I visited my dad's family in North Carolina when I was still living in California. And I think I had an entire duffel bag worth of books. And I was like, this is not ideal. Most of my suitcase was books, which I love. Mm-hmm. However, kind of heavy, kind of cumbersome, you know, so that sucks. So I really got into... And once I really started loving to read, my parents could never say no to me buying a book. Mm-hmm. I remember the only time when I was like young teenager, I almost overdrafted my checking account. Ooh. Was I was at Borders. Trying to buy some books.
R.I.P.
Bye-bye Borders. So I love physical books, hardback. I really, Barnes & Noble though, when they came out with their Nook, mm-hmm. My parents bought me one, and I, no joke.
How many books you got?
Pause while I look up. 951 books.
Holy
shit. I have now on my Nook. And let me see how many I have on Audible. Does it give you a count?
Yeah. I think I'm at 100. Where are you at?
I have 123 books on Audible. And that's not to count all the ones I have in paperback. So I have a lot of books. So yep. That is the downside of paper. I feel like I love, like you said, that feel, mm-hmm. kind of crawling up in a chair, reading a book. But I love my digital and audio libraries for when I'm on the go, mm-hmm. because I can carry clearly nearly 1,000 books in my pocket, which is great when I travel because then I can flip between books. And mm-hmm. like if I finish one in the middle of a journey, then I don't have to be like, oh, well, I don't have something to read. But the benefit of audio, I would say, over digital or paper is that I can listen to it while I drive, mm-hmm. sometimes while I work on a data project, which I'm not super, you know, doesn't take up a whole lot of mental space, or long car rides or going for a walk. And the one pro and con I would say specifically about audiobooks, and I don't know, Christine, if you've had this experience, that the voice performer can make or break a story. And there's Absolutely. Books that I have digital copies of, physical copies of, and an audio copy of, because I will read them different ways or listen to. And then there's a series that we'll get into later that I absolutely love. And I think I bought it on Audible, the first one. And the voice performer was horrendous. It was atrocious. Literally, I returned it through Audible, and I remember checking out the reviews, and all of them was like, really interesting story, creative world. Shit reader. Terrible reader.
They can.
And they still hired the same person to read all of the books. And I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
So that's one of the things. But if you find like good audio performers, voice performers, I love listening to them, because that is really how I think I first listened to Harry Potter. Was I had the books read by Jim Dale, and that's where I started with Harry Potter. Once I got into it, was like I listened to it, and then I went back and read the books. And such a good story. But yeah, I think a voice performer can make or break an audio experience. Those are my pros and cons. Cons of paper is I can't take it everywhere, or as many as I would like. Pros of digital is that I can take so much, but it's not always the same as reading a physical. Mm-hmm. And I think Audible reading is a category of all of its own. Christine recently mentioned that she might be stopping her Audible account to listen through Spotify.
You get 15 hours with Spotify premium? I forget. Yeah.
So I don't think I thought about this week. I don't think that would be for me because I listened to
so much
11 hours in 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think that would be a problem. I feel like, oh, dang, 3 days over and I'm already, you know, can't listen to more.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm kind of in the same boat where I go through that really quickly, but I understand what you're saying, that 15 hours isn't a lot in like the grand scheme of things, especially if you're quick to go through it. But
or like if you pop it on when you don't really realize how long you listen to things, like if you're driving to and from someplace and you're like, oh,
and you have to be,
those 10 minute drives add up.
They do. And you have to be very careful quick. Because this happened to me last month where I accidentally fell asleep while listening. And so I had to go back and re-listen to what I missed. But that meant that I lost however long from my 15-hour allotment that month. So I literally had an hour left of the book. And I had to wait like 2 weeks before I could finish it because it just really was a bummer. But I did finish it. Finally, I did go back and finish that book. But it did kind of take the momentum out of it because I think like when it comes to audiobooks, you kind of have to stay in it because otherwise physical books, and I get, you know, I'm not a huge electronic book reader. I've done it here and there over the years, but it's so much easier to pick up and put down that when you're doing an audiobook, I feel like you got to stick with it and just sort of, I don't know, maybe I'm alone in that one, but I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. All right. So we've covered all of our bases on the books we were obsessed with and what ignited our reading journey. And now why don't we talk about our current reads or recent reads that we are obsessed with. Alexandra, why don't you kick us off? What are your obsessions right now?
So I'm a huge rereader. Like I love to reread books that I really enjoy. And particularly if I have to wait a while for like the next book in a series to come out, I'll go back and reread right before it comes out. So I can be caught up. Yeah.
I find that for me, I'm a better rereader at audiobooks than physical books, but that's just me.
Really?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite series is the Dark in You series by Susan Seesmore. She's an English writer. And
I'm familiar with her work.
That was the book that I was talking about.
What? I'm familiar with her work.
I think I turned Christine onto the series. This is the series that I said that the Audible book was just a horrendous performer. It made the character sound like Valley Girls, and like it just was terrible.
That's how I'm consuming those books. I'm listening to the audio, so I'm deep in her. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've looked past her voice enough to stick with it, but yeah, she's not the greatest. I agree.
I was like. And I love that series. And the first 15, 20 minutes of that, I was like, I can't do this. It'll destroy my love of this book. So I really like those series. Very creative characters and the whole world. So that is one of the ones I will always go back to. And I know she had recently released the one about Larkin.
Yeah.
Hunted?
Yeah.
She's up to book nine. Another one coming out.
Yeah, she's got books nine coming.
Mm-hmm. So whoop.
A lot of books.
It is.
She's found,
and I'm like, keep coming.
She's found success in that world for sure.
There was another series that I have recently come back to, and that was the Mercy Thompson series by Patricia Briggs. I think I first found it when I was in high school, but I really only ever read or listened to the first 4, maybe 5 books. And so, and I have more of the audiobooks, I think, than the digital copies. So I have really this time gone past where I had stopped and into the next ones, and I really have been enjoying them. I think they're right now my current obsession. And since we already have marked our show as explicit, I don't feel bad in saying, I also enjoy romance and smutty romance. Oh, it's great.
It is great.
So I listened to an audio.
Do you listen? No, I was just going to say, like, listening to a smutty romance book, it's like, ooh.
So you're like, I'm like, excuse me, I need to go away for a minute. So that was a book that I listened to this past week, the one that I listened to that was like 11 hours. I listened to it because the voice performer is somebody who I really like. Mm-hmm. I love her voice and how she does different characters. And she was reading this one book and I was like, I'll give it a try. It's just a generic fiction romance, like enemies to lovers kind. The entire time I was like, I think I have learned things about myself that I like that I wasn't aware. But yeah, that was a really good one. And I think that was called If You Hate Me. And I'm already like, when is the next one coming out? So those are my current reads. But I'm also very much into like self-transformation, self-help, inner work. So I've got a lot of that. As Christine knows, I talk about the ones that I'm reading and working on. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I usually have like 3 or 4 books running at a time between different formats. So right now I'm currently reading Mindfulness for a More Creative Life for one of my MBA classes, but I'm actually enjoying the content. Right. Listening to Patricia Briggs's book. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading, I think, a romance about pirates. And
that's one thing I didn't bring up in our last section is, like, in addition to Harry Potter and Twilight, I was mm-hmm. a big fan of pirate-like stories, like, you know, love stories, and Greek mythology retellings. I was really big into that in, like, middle school, high school. But
same.
Yeah.
I love Greek mythology. I'll have to tell you. So I'm trying to dwindle down my digital library a bit to the books that I really like. So I'm trying to force myself to read books that I also enjoy reading, but the ones that maybe I haven't read in a long time or bought and never read. Mm-hmm. And then, like, if I don't like it, I'm going to be a bit more strict with myself of moving it to the archive so I can delete it. But I will tell you the title if you want to jump on my Nook app and read it before it disappears, because it's like, it's okay, but it's not, I don't think it'll be one that I go back to. But it's, yeah, I was like, ah, I can taste, evolve, differ. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's the stuff that I'm currently listening to. So what series do you go back to? I know you said you don't often reread, but is there one that you will go back to multiple times?
Yeah, you mentioned that you found a love for Jane Austen. I also, and one of my favorites is Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. Love Pride and Prejudice. I've read it a couple of times. I probably would love to go back and reread that. And, you know, there's just certain books, especially if you love them, going back at different points in your life and reading it, even though you know the story, you're changing. So, like, how you're enjoying and interpreting what you're reading is always going to be a little different. So Pride and Prejudice is mm-hmm. one. So to your point about how, like, you reread things because you're waiting for the next book to come, I'm kind of the person who's like, I'll just wait until the series is all out so I don't have to wait because my memory is crap and I don't necessarily want to keep rereading. Not because I don't want to reread, but, like, there's so mm-hmm. many books to read. So I started reading years ago, like, when it was first coming out, and Sarah J. Maas is now, like, huge. I started reading Throne of Glass, and I read the first 2 books, and I've lent out a couple of my copies to my sister, so I think I have I have 5, the first 5, including the prequel. And I read the first 2 books. So I think I reread the first one. I actually listened mm-hmm. to it. So I want to, you know, finish that series out because I did really love it. And then the other series, I did start but didn't finish. And I read it when it first came out and now it's, like, blown up, is A Court of Thorns and Roses, which people call ACOTAR.
Yes, I think I've only listened to the first book of ACOTAR. Mm. ACOTAR?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But you've told me about the Sarah J. Maas book. I feel like I listened to the first one in that series, or maybe one of her other series. I think it was a Sarah J. Maas book. Mm-hmm.
I think one of our first proper conversations back in college, like, that I remember we met up at the Duncan on campus and we were talking about books that we loved, and I was like, I just read this book, and I was telling you about the story and how she's, like, a female assassin and she's in this, like, tournament to be the king's champion, and you were like, oh wow, yes, this is sick. Yeah And you were sharing, oh, what series did you share with me? Was it Vampire Academy? We were talking about,
oh, I love that series. Yeah,
you were sharing your love of that series. I don't know if you had just read it or we were just talking about books that we loved.
Could be.
But
gosh, there's so many series that we do love that I feel like we would have a 5.5-hour episode.
We could have a whole another podcast just on books. Who knows? Maybe one day. But yeah, so those are ones that I probably reread. But my current obsession, and we've talked about this, Fourth Wing. Like we said, not one to, you know, get on the hype bandwagon, but for me at least, I was gifted it for my birthday, and I loved it. And I got the second book, and I did like it. I did enjoy it because it was further expanding the world.
Turns.
But it wasn't, like, looking back on it, I had to sit with it for a little bit and sort of feel the feels. Not that there was necessarily, I think it was rushed, ultimately. Like, she released the two books in a year. That's a big feat to do, especially in the fantasy genre. Yeah. But, yeah, Fourth Wing was a good one.
I think it was that sort of accident that I got that book. I think Audible was doing one of their credit sales. And there was another book that I really wanted on my wish list in it. And that was one of the ones, Fourth Wing came up as one that you could do for the sale. Mm. And so that's how I was like,
yeah,
sure.
Interesting.
Let me try it. And I liked the performer's voice and how she read the characters.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah, that was one I physically read. I didn't do the audiobook. So also, and this just because I'm a grumpy millennial, but the fact that inside of my copy of Fourth Wing, which I don't have right now, I lent it to my sister. My sister has a lot of my books right now. It had like a page, like praise from Book Talk. And I was like,
yes, that's a big thing.
That's a big
now.
Thing right
like,
now. And I'm like,
Book Talk author or.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'm all here for book, like TikTok helping authors, you know, expand their reach and find new readers. But why is it in print? And it came before, like, you know how there's that page where it's like reviews from other authors, like they give like a one liner. Uh-huh. It came before that, and I was like, it gave me the ugh.
Gosh, sometimes I think Jen's, because I think you and I both fall in that weird zillennial category. Like, we're very tail end of millennial, but we are not Gen Z. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think sometimes when I listen to Gen Z speak, I'm like, what language are you talking about? What are you saying?
How am I somehow 60 years old? But
hey, you know what I just heard today? We could say we were born in the 1900s, which is both accurate and frightening to people who are younger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's.
I was born in a whole other century, you know?
Oh, anyway. So, yeah, that's one of my current obsessions. Maybe I'll reread it. I'm not yet sure. I might want to explore, like, the audio version. Maybe that's how I'll reread it. But
can I jump in with a question? Yeah. Did you ever get into the historical romance type genre?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big, yeah, that was historical a big romance thing fan. In high school for a while.
Big historical romance fan. Yeah. I mean, I love Jane Austen. So I've listened to the first few Bridgerton books, like that because I love the show, so I've listened to the books. The show is way better, but that'd be fun to talk about in our next section. But I'm currently reading and obsessed with, because I love this author so much, is Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who is the author of the book I gifted you for Christmas, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Loved. So I've read that one by her. I've read Daisy Jones and the Six by her. And this is my third book I'm reading of hers. Mm. And I kid you not, I don't typically cry when I read books, but I have cried every book that I've read by her. I love her writing so much. I have a little bit of a girl crush on her. Like, I just love everything. And I love how her stories, I'm discovering, I don't think Daisy Jones connects in, but there's a tie-in from Evelyn Hugo to Malibu Rising, and then to the next book she released, which I think is Carrie Soto's Comeback or something like that. That's another book. And so there's characters that appear in each of those three books, so there's like subtle tie-ins, which I think is just so nice.
Oh, I like that.
So not like, if you don't read all of her books, like if you just read one of her books, like it's not like, oh, you have to go and read these other books. But
yeah
so that's my current read and obsession. But
very cool.
Yeah,
so what books are on your TBR right now?
Oh god,
And I don't mean the whole list, because again, I think there would be another 5-hour conversation. It's never ending list.
I don't think I'll ever. There might be books. I actually went through my Goodreads and like took books off that I've just face facts I'm never going to read. But a couple of them I mentioned when we were talking about series we are going to reread. So I want to finish. Mm-hmm. I want to read through Throne of Glass, mm-hmm. ACOTAR. She's got another series. I think it's called. Oh, what's it called? Crescent City, I think is that series. So
yes, I think I have the first book on Audible, but I haven't listened to it. I think that's one I bought.
Yeah. So those are on my TBR. And then I think in February I read Children of Blood and Bone, which was amazing. And I have the second one, but she has a third one coming out. So I want to finish those. One that's been on my TBR for a long time and I've been seeing a lot more recently on social media is A Little Life, which is a long book, but it follows, if I remember correctly, it follows the story of, I think it's 4 roommates as right after they graduate college and like where their lives take them for several years, and it just follows their storyline. I think everything I've heard about it sounds lovely. So that is one I do want to read. The Vanishing Half is another, which is by Britt Bennett. My friend Tori just read it and she loved it, so I'm very excited to read it. And you know, anything by Taylor Jenkins Reid, I'm gonna definitely read. And the last, and actually I didn't talk about this series, but it is one that I have reread and would love to read again, is A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab. Love V.E. Schwab. Okay. But she has a new book that came out in that world called Threads of Power. So I'm going to dive into that series as well. Those are currently at the top of my list. So a lot of fantasy, some contemporary, and then who knows? There's always... I haven't talked about it much, but I'm a huge fan of murder mystery and mystery books. So I'm kind of taking a break from that, but I definitely love that. Like, I love Agatha Christie. Actually, the shelf behind me is covered in Agatha Christie books. So yeah, that's my TBR list. How about you?
I'm trying to think. I've got a lot of, I don't know if it's like self-transformation, self-help books kind of queued up. More on the mindfulness kind of spectrum, things like Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza. So I like a lot of that metaphysics type thing. So I have quite a few, like that one, E Squared by Pam Grout. But in terms of fiction, I think I want to get back to trying to find the title. It's one I listened to via audio. And I think the first one is not that one. It's by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Mm. Something about From Blood and Ash. I think that's the first one.
Yeah.
That was really good. Obviously, the Mercy Thompson one. So finishing out that series, at least to what's out. There's a really good series that I like by Chandel Avon. And I like the reader who reads the series. I think I read the first 2 series. It's all about witches and it's a very cool world that she built. And it crosses like academy magic, elemental magic, and then there's kind of a newer one. Oh, it's narrated by Vanessa Moy, and I like her voice. And there's another one by Kelly Armstrong. I actually really like that author. She wrote a couple books in the young adult genre that I really loved, but she has a series. The first one is called Cursed Luck, and I like the narrator of that one too. So I'm hoping, I think she has the third book out, so I'm hoping it gets done into audio soon so I can just listen to it that way. But yeah, that's mostly what's on my TBR. And then, as you know, I'm obsessed with all things tarot, cards, witch related. So I've got a long TBR on that topic. Yeah. So those are mine.
Do you ever listen to audiobooks on those topics, or do you stick to reading physical or electronic?
I do. It's one of those ones that I actually like having both an audio copy and a physical copy. Mm. And I think I've told Christine before, and I don't know if I've mentioned it here on this podcast, but I love Hay House Publishing. And I think I let my Empower You audio app with them subscription end. And I want to re-up that one because they pretty much have all of their author's books up as audio with the authors reading it.
Oh, nice.
So I love, because sometimes with self-help genre and metaphysics, there's like images and pictures and diagrams in the books that you don't necessarily get through the audio, or like you have to go through a bunch of hoops to find them. So I think that's why I love listening to it and reading it. But that's, yeah, that's my favorite thing. So that's one more thing to add to the to-do list to subscribe to. But I do, I think there's things that stand out to me more when I listen, and then other pieces stand out to me when I read. So it's, I enjoy both of them, and it's also another way to kind of more of like, not cement, but like get the information in further. Yeah. So I like that.
And I have one more that I meant to mention. It's not, it's a nonfiction book that I actually saw on Instagram through the, like the New York Times had posted about it, but it really grabbed my interest. The book is called All in Her Head, The Truth and Lies Early Medicine Taught Us About Women's Bodies and Why It Matters Today by Dr. Elizabeth Komen. I have that as an audiobook. I did start it, but I saw that and I had just talked to somebody about like a similar topic, and like it just struck a chord with me, and I was like, oh my God, yes, I need to read this. So it just grabbed my attention what I was reading the article, and so I'll have to let you guys know how I like that. But I know I've been mostly talking about nonfiction or fiction books that I love, but I do enjoy nonfiction every now and again. I didn't even I had mentioned that I love documentaries. I also love a memoir. Like I listened to Prince Harry's, that one took me a while, but that was a heavy story to read. And then I did read Britney Spears's memoir at the start of the year. So yeah, but why don't we talk about any bookstagrammers or booktubers that you love that you want to share with us?
And I think I totally stumbled across these people by accident. I think it was kind of when I got into watching the videos about the book rebindings. But Chelsea Cohen, her handle's at Chelsea Reads _, which of course, as per usual, will include the links to their accounts in the show notes. So her, I love them because it's kind of funny. And she'll do this whole skit with herself where she's got this version that always wears like a cream and white checked sweater or something. And it's, she's like, all right, next, who wants a book, you know, recommendation? And like, she'll play different versions like, hey, I want this. I want a spicy romance with this and this thing. Enemies to lovers. And she's like, okay, well, I've got this, this, and this, and this. Which one? And she's like, well, can I get more of XYZ? And like, da, 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 da. So that's kind of fun. So sometimes I'll like screenshot books that I'm like, sound interesting. Plus, I think she does a lot of fantasy more things, but I like it because it exposes me to different, I guess, tropes, for lack of a better word, and different things. And then somebody else I kind of stumbled across on was Jason Headley at Easy Cat. I think that's how you say that handle. He's really funny. I'm thinking this is definitely not for children's ears, but apparently there is a book that is called Door or something, and it's about a woman getting it on with a door. And when he was doing the review of that, I was on the floor dying. It was great. But he's just so funny, and he does things with like, you know, like I'm a book person, and I wouldn't, you know, I can't go anywhere without my bookshelf or something like that. And so I kind of connect with that, and it was funny. But yeah, so I like some of the lighter book things and kind of exposing me to different authors or titles that I haven't found myself. But those are the ones that are more on like the fantasy side. I don't think I've found a new one for like nonfiction or other stuff, because most of that I just find on my own.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about you, Christine? Do you have anyone that you have followed for a long time? Oh, can I jump in?
Yeah,
one more time?
Go ahead.
Okay. Cause, yeah, no worries. So she does not have a book talk or bookstagram or booktube, all that. But one of my coworkers and good friends, she has, her TBR is full of a lot of classics and other stories. And I love catching up with her because we'll go for a walk at work just to kind of get up from our desks. And I'll be like, so what's the latest? Tell me what's going on. And recently she was telling me about The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. And she's done Sense and Sensibility by, you know, Jane Austen, like all these different classics. And the way she recaps the stories, I'm like, I totally got it. I don't need to read it. But it's funny. It's witty. It's very much like not in, almost like something like that Victorian old historical romance type language. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you need to get an Instagram. You need to do something on YouTube because you have to share this with the world. And she's been rereading the Bible. I'm like, can you tell me about what's going on in like Deuteronomy or, you know, different books? And she's like, okay, so this is how it went down. And it's great. So while she doesn't have an account, it's one of my favorite ways to learn about different books.
Oh, very cool. I first got on like the BookTuber train back in college, I think, and mm-hmm. was following a lot of different people at the time, and they've since sort of changed. I still follow them, but they've sort of grown out of, like, they still do a little bit in that realm, but that's not strictly the content they do anymore. So the one that I really love and still follow, her name is Natasha Polis. I think she goes, I forget what her handle is, let me look it up really quick. She's Tasha Polis on Instagram. And then the one that I still follow who strictly sticks to book content is Peruse Project. Her name is Reagan. Mm-hmm. I have followed her for years. I don't necessarily watch her long form content anymore, but I always like to see, like, I follow her on Goodreads, so I'd like to see how she reviews things. Although recently I've read Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo. And we mm-hmm. didn't even touch on this in this episode. Maybe we'll have to come back to it. But talking about books that we didn't end up liking that were, like, really popular or whatever the case may be. That book. Yes,
Christine was here when she finished that book.
Oh, my God. It took so long. I wasn't for me. Not my cup of tea. I had so much hope because, like, the premise was really interesting. And I was excited yeah. because she's the author of Shadow and Bone and Bone. Six of Crows. Mm-hmm. Like, so she, you know, she mm-hmm. was very successful in the YA genre. This was her first adult fantasy novel. And in my opinion, it wasn't that great. But it got better. We'll have to get into this.
I think
this
when you
time.
Finished the book, I was like, how'd it go? And she's like, well, there was a twist at the end that I kind of want to read the second one, but, like, I don't know that I really want to suffer through it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll, like, but if it pops up at, like, a thrift store or a book sale, like, discounted mm. or who knows, maybe there isn't an audiobook I want to read more than the second book in the series. But yeah, I bring this up because she had rated the book like 4 or 5 stars. And I was like, this is a 2 for me. So it was the first time I was like, girl, what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's also valid, right? Like, all of our opinions are based on our own experiences mm-hmm. and where we are, I think, when we read them. I have a really good friend who's been on the show before, Traveris, and she was like, you have to read this book, The Women Who Run With Wolves. Mm-hmm. And I started to read that when I was back with the other podcast, and they wanted to do like a book club type of like a thing around mm-hmm. books. And that was the book they picked. And I think the people I was around and some opinions and feelings that I had when I started to read that book colored what I was seeing it. And so I was like, maybe I would give that like a 1 star from what I read. However, maybe that's just where I was at the time and I should go back and read it. Because mm-hmm. I think I've heard many people talk highly about it. But I'm wondering if it's one of those things that for me, it's like people talk highly about it, but do they understand it? Or maybe they understand it and I don't understand it in a way. So anyways, it's one of those like, is anyone right?
Yeah. Well, not everything's going to resonate with everybody. So, like, you know, there's – and then for me, this same book Instagram booktuber that I follow, she did not like Fourth Wing at all. And she's really big and she reads a lot of fantasy and all of that. But she wasn't a fan. So, like, coming off of me loving Fourth Wing and her not liking it to me reading Ninth House and I not liking it, I was like, what's going on? But, yeah, it just goes to show you, like,
do you ever get defensive about books that you love and then other people are like, no, I hate it?
I used to. I haven't necessarily, like, I was that way with Twilight. But I feel like Twilight was its own thing. And I think some people may look back on Twilight and their obsession of it and cringe a little bit. I'm like, I laugh at it. I was like, girl, yeah.
It was the time. It was hot shit back
and
then.
And, like, it was the first time where I properly, like, quote unquote fangirled about something. I was so emotionally invested in just like into a series. I've since grown to have boundaries when it comes to like, I still love to dive in and immerse myself, but understand like, mm-hmm. I don't need to necessarily have this emotional.
That's true.
Deep.
I think I had a similar reaction right after I read Fourth Wing, or I say read, I listened to it. Mm. And I think I feel sometimes more attachment to books that I've listened to from readers I really enjoyed how they performed the story. So to me, it's not just the story, but it was the way in which it was performed. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge fan of the male voice that they had do at the last chapter. I think I've heard him in a couple other books, and he's okay. I think I got so used to the way the female performer had done the voices and characters that I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I saw this one guy reviewing like terrible books and I hadn't read any of those. And then he put like five as like Fourth Wing. And I was like, kind of like, hey, what? And I was okay. It might be that I just finished reading mm-hmm. it. Probably not a good idea. And, yeah. But like now that I have space, I'm like, I think it's a good book. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. And I'm trying to come to the terms with, you know, where people think books have to be this amazing
work of art.
Yeah. And I'm like, sometimes no. Sometimes a book just needs to be a good read. And if you enjoy it, fuck all who don't agree. Yeah. Like, and that's what I'm trying to get to, because I'm like, I used to feel ashamed that I really like smutty romance sometimes, I don't know if you've heard it called cliterature.
Oh, I have not heard it called that, but that makes sense.
That was fun. And I was like, I used to be like ashamed that I like that. And I'm like, why? When I read that, it's because I want to not escape from life, but I want to enjoy something different than my day-to-day life. And so I'm like, that's really all it needs to be. And if that's what it is, then it's good for me. And if somebody else doesn't like it, then they don't like it, but they might like something I don't like. So yeah, you said it's getting boundaries. And I'm like, ah, yes. Yes, that's what I need to do.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's our stuff. And we'll, of course, put the people that we had mentioned, their handles in our show notes if anyone wants to go check out their content. Mm. All right. So I know we kept saying we would put a pin in it and come back to it later. Well, guys, it is finally time to hit the books to film section. Mm-hmm. So, Christine, to kick us off, what do you think? What are your thoughts on books becoming TV shows or films?
You know, my thoughts on this has changed a lot since I was in like middle school, high school to now. I'm kind of like, sure, let's see how it all comes to life. Because look, the one point I want to start by saying is I don't think it's ever going to be perfect, because everybody interprets the story they're reading differently. They envision it differently. So
that's true.
Not everybody's going to be happy, but I always love to see how a director, a writer interprets another piece of work and bring it to the screen or to my TV, because they're interpreting the story just like I did when I read it. So and they have the means to turn it into a movie or a TV show, which is, I think, pretty awesome. And for a long time, I was like, I have to read the book before I watch it. I think I've sort of let go of that requirement, and I'll watch something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll just watch a book or a book adaptation of a film or a TV show and not even read it, because like maybe I enjoyed
it. Wasn't capturing enough, or
it didn't capture me enough to be like, oh, I should go back and see how this was originally written or whatever. But
it's funny, as you were talking, I was already like picking like, oh, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 or 5 things. I was like, I want to talk about this section. So Christy, I'm curious to know more of your thoughts and if we have similar ones.
Sure. So I'm all for it. I know some people would be like, no, it'll ruin it. And yeah, some have really missed the mark, mm-hmm. but I always, I'm like, give it a shot. Let's see what they come up with. What about you?
I'm very much in the same opinion. I don't think I've ever had the experience of like, oh, I have to read the book before I see the show. Because sometimes a show or a movie will actually turn me on to the books.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely how I am today, for sure.
And kind of going into the next part of like ones that have been done well or ones we thought were done poorly. There was one that I read the book before saw the movie and then it later became a TV show. I think I turned Christine onto it, but the one that was City of Bones and then the TV show Shadowhunter. I thought the book was okay. And it was another one of those things that was a really big, I think, hype when it was coming out by Cassandra Clare. And I will give the book, the movie, props. I thought it followed the book very well.
Yeah, the original movie.
I enjoyed the TV show much better. After, I think, once the actors kind of settled into, like, their roles. It's one of those things where I was like, Christine's like, yeah, she was like, are you sure this is good? I was like, just get past the first 4 to 5 episodes and think. And she's like, oh, I see it now. I thought the way the TV show captured the world was much more engaging. But when the show was canceled, and I thought they rushed the ending. So I was a little disappointed in that. But overall, I think I preferred the show over the movie and over the books. One of my big things with Harry Potter. That's what I said from earlier in the episode. I liked the movies. I thought they were good. You can definitely see the development of CGI capabilities through the series. I was so disappointed in the fourth book, the fourth movie, because the fourth book has so much detail that was left out. And I was, that was the part that disappointed me. I was like, the book is so great and the movie could be so much better. But I was like, it also would probably be a 4-hour movie. But so I think, I don't know if it's true, but I heard a rumor that Warner Brothers is going to make a TV series of Harry Potter, where each season's going to follow the books a little bit more closely in detail. And I'm like, I am here for it.
Oh, are you? You're here for it?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like the show. I love the movies. I think, you know, the actors like Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson will always be those characters for me. But I'm not so staunchly opposed to like, oh, they can never redo it. Because, I mean, they've redone other movies and shows as generations have passed. I mean, heck, even Sabrina the Teenage Witch has been redone. And that was only, first came out in what, early 2000s?
90s.
Late 1990s. Yeah. And they have done, Netflix redid it in a bit of a different style, which is totally cool.
Oh, yeah, the chilling, yeah, the chilling.
I'm okay with it. I'm curious to know, I think, like you said, Christine, a little bit ago, how, seeing how it's adapted and seeing what this, the director or writers and producers create for that. So I think it'll be an interesting experiment. So what is one that you thought has been done well?
You know what I think has done well and has exceeded the quality of the books is Bridgerton. Because I didn't read the books before I watched it. And it was one of those things where I was like, there's too much hype around this. I'm not going to watch it. And then I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? This is so good.
Yeah, she's like, okay, I know there's hype, but you have to check this out. And so I was like, okay, fine. But I agree with you. I think the show is
better than the book. Way better than the books.
Why do you say?
I think, honestly, like, they've taken the story, like, the bones of what Julia Quinn created, and just the writing is amazing. I love how they've reimagined this historical time period and have brought in such wonderful elements to make the story even better and more beautiful. And I think that, for me, is, like, where the bar is, and I'm very excited for this next season. I loved also Queen Charlotte.
I still haven't seen one. That's on my to watch list.
I don't know if it's a book. I don't know. I think that might have just been a one-off that Netflix did.
But I've heard really good things about it. Like, you have said it. I think my mom's watched it. Other people say they've watched it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to. And I feel like it's one of those things that I want to be able to dedicate time to and binge if I hit the urge to binge it. So I haven't really had time to really binge a show. So I'm like, I keep putting it off until I feel like, that okay.
Oh, another one that I brought up last week, Heartstopper.
Oh, that was cute.
I know it's like a graphic novel, but it's so good. And the show, it's
almost like the show better.
Well, only because, like, you can only do so much with graphic. It's like a comic almost, because there isn't a whole lot of other dialogue or, like,
But I thought they did a really good job of kind of transposing some of the images from the graphic novel into the show.
Well, Alice Coleman is heavily involved in the show's production. So, like, all the like, transitions, like, the little the animated bits are her art that she did. Like, that are from the books and
That's so cool.
Like, she does for the show. So, and she's also, I don't know if she's featured in the second season, but, like, you know that last episode they're on the train to go to the beach? And there's this girl sitting off to the side and she's drawing. I don't know. But that's her.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, that's Alice Coleman. She's great.
While we're on Heartstopper and Bridgerton that you mentioned, I would say that one of the things I liked better about the shows than the books is the expansion of the characters and the surrounding supporting characters 100%. That happen in the TV show that you don't necessarily get in the books. So that's what I almost love the shows better.
I agree. Definitely. Especially with, well, both of those, because one, one's a graphic novel, so it's very much hyper-focused on the Charlie and Nick. Definitely. And then also with the romance novels, like, it's very hyper-focused on the couple that the story is following. So you get to see how much bigger the world is and how they'll connect season to season and how other characters, like, their subplots, they bloom and grow. Like, it's just, I agree with you that those two shows have definitely exceeded the books.
Okay. Yeah. I have one. So one that I was so excited for because I absolutely love the books. And I think it's one of those things, like with the fourth book of Harry Potter, Discovery of Witches. I freaking love those books.
Same.
I listened to the audiobooks. I think I do have the digital copies. I liked the reader of books 1 through 3. I started to listen to the fourth, the one-off one, and it was almost like, first of all, different reader, terrible. I returned that thing so quickly. No. And I, one of the comments had said they thought it was ghostwritten for Deborah Harkness. And so I just haven't really read that fourth book. But the TV show, I liked the first season, but it was one of those things where so much detail in the book, and then they changed so much of the second season, which related to the second book, that I was like, and it wasn't different enough. Whereas, like, with the Shadowhunters TV show, it was different enough from the book and the movie that I could enjoy it on its own. But that one, I was just like, this could have, I loved the actors that they had in there in that show, and I was like, this could have been so much better.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Because I also, but when I came around and finished season two, I was so, I hadn't listened to the book because I listened to the books. I hadn't listened to the book in a while. So as I was watching, I was like, this doesn't seem right. And I was talking to Alexandra and she's like, yeah, no, they totally changed it. I was like, oh, okay. I was going to say, and I get it because what, there was 8 episodes in the season, right?
Not enough to cover.
To cover 2, because 2 was insane.
Massive.
It is massive and very long. And then 3, you know, they were supposed to make 2 seasons out of book 3, but because of COVID and other commitments that the actors had, they had to change it to 1. And my God,
2 seasons would have been better.
Yeah. I honestly think it could have easily, each book could have been, I thought season 1 was pretty good. It encompassed the book pretty well, but each season,
some details missing. But
yeah. Each book could have been 2 seasons, I think, would have been proper, or even just like longer seasons. I know we're in this era of 8 to 10 episodes, or 8 to 10 episodes now.
Sorry, I like my 22 episode seasons. You know, you think about like Gilmore Girls or even Heart of Dixie, like all that stuff. Like 22 episodes gives you space and time to develop stuff.
Well, also, I like a longer season, and thinking back to like those shows, like Gilmore Girls, even I watched One Tree Hill and Supernatural, you know, because they were like week to week, there were some filler episodes that didn't necessarily move the plot forward. But anyway, that was just how TV used to be, kids.
Don't do, I feel ancient when I say that? But that amount of space, so maybe like a 16 to 20 episode season would have done those books a bit more justice without filler episodes.
Yeah, because there's just so much. Mm. Especially now, television with streaming services, writers look at the series as a whole and have, not that they, that's not how it's always been, but I feel like how TV used to be, like how you got, like they had where they wanted to always end up, but now with these condensed seasons, and especially when it comes to book adaptations, like they obviously have the framework.
And there's, so that's why I think I'm partially excited for, if the Harry Potter TV show does ever happen, that I'm excited to see what they do and how they do it, if they're going to be longer seasons or if they'll only be 10 episodes. But that said, some of the shows where it's only 10 episodes, it's like, oh my gosh, did that all happen in one season?
Because I feel like when it comes to Bridgerton and Heartstopper, I love the length.
So much happens.
So much happens. And I love that they honestly don't need to be longer. I think I think they those two shows do a really great job. And Heartstopper too, they're less than 30 minutes.
Which to me is almost mind-blowing for what happens in those 30 minutes, because so much happens that is moving the story along.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Anyways, yeah, I think we could totally talk about this for, you know,
forever and ever.
Do you have Disney Plus?
Yes.
Okay, so have you watched the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series?
I have not, no.
So I never read those books. I started listening to the second series that the author did, something about Apollo on audio, but I haven't finished that one yet. So that might also be on my TBR. But I watched the show and I would say it is a lot like Heartstopper in the sense of so much happens in those like 8 or 10 episodes. And I'm like, hot damn, whoa. And I thought it was done really well, but I haven't read the books. So
okay, that's good.
I thought it was good.
That's good to know. I haven't read the books either. I watched the movies back, or I watched the first one, and I know everybody was like, those who read the books were like, oh, this is awful. And even like the book, or even the movie was, wasn't the greatest. But I've heard some good things that the show's doing was good, so I'll have to, maybe I'll give it a go.
And as we said, we like anything about Greek mythology,
yes,
so.
Absolutely.
It's a good one.
I think, just to go back to your point about the Harry Potter TV show, I don't know, I could be, I mean, it has been a while, but it seems a little soon to like be remaking it. I think that to me was like, really? This is where, because there's so many, I know a lot of people, and listen, and I've shared this with Alexandra, I've been struggling for the last couple of years when it comes to Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling and all of that, and we don't need to get all into all of that right now. But I think for a lot of people who are fans of Harry Potter, want to see something else from the world for now. Like, I'm all for like a remake, and God knows we're in the age of remakes right now. But I would have loved to, you know, maybe seen a show around like Harry's dad, and just like a prequel to what we have already. But
although
that's just me.
Maybe the TV show, the remake of the original series, would be the gateway into doing that.
Maybe.
If it gets enough interest, perhaps staying in a TV format would help versus like a film.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just, for me, I was like, really? They're going to do that?
But they remade Mean Girls. I know there was Mean Girls 2 that was done, but I was like, we're not old enough for a Mean Girls remake, but apparently it's happening.
Well, it was actually the musical version, because Mean Girls went to Broadway, so it was Mean Girls the musical.
Oh, I forgot that.
But the interesting thing was, and this is a little bit of a tangent, the interesting thing was they didn't market the Mean Girls movie as a movie musical, because they didn't want to turn off people like with musical attached to it.
That would have.
So all of the marketing just led you to believe it was like just Mean Girls. Like my sister, she went to see it the night before she watched the movie, and then she went to see the new movie, and she's like, the heck? This is just the same movie, but they're singing? And I was like, yeah, buddy, you didn't know? She's like, no. So I thought,
I didn't know, so I guess I don't need to watch it now.
Yeah, so it's just the musical movie version.
All right, you know. Okay, so what books would you like to see adapted into film or TV?
You know, I always love, and it's a big undertaking, but I always love when fantasy is adapted. I understand that that's a big undertaking as a film or TV project. But I mentioned that I read recently Children of Blood and Bone, and I absolutely loved it. And I would love to see that as a TV show. And the second book I have, and a third book's coming out. And, you know, I almost wonder when it comes to fantasy, if film is the best medium. What do you think? Because because so much gets left out.
Yeah, I almost would say I would prefer TV show, like shows, series, even if it's a one book. I think a series would be better than a film because I think I'm left wanting so much more out of the film that can maybe be better accommodated through TV series or just a one-off series.
Yeah. What are you excited to see?
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Part of me is like, oh, if something gets turned into a movie, will I like it? And as much as I like the book. Mm. So I kind of would like to see the Susan Seymour series, The Dark in You. I'd be curious to know how somebody interprets how all of those different main characters' other forms look and what the underground of Las Vegas would look like. Sure. I think it would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think there's so much room to play with that. But I think I did not mention the series. There's a kind of a murder mystery series I like that also falls a bit within the romance genre. It's by Mary Force, and it's about the detective Samantha Holland. And it's now got a spinoff series. Let me see if I can just find it real quick. Oh, the Fatal series. That was the title. Because I could see like each book being like half a season and maybe doing two books a season. Because I think the characters are really interesting and the storylines. It's not immediately obvious who committed the murder, and I like the process and the characters enough. I think that would be kind of cool. But there's another series called Shadow Falls, and I think that would be kind of fun because that one's about like different supernatural.
Yeah, I read that one.
So I think that would be kind of interesting, and they all live. Most of them live at a summer camp.
Yeah, it's like you got a summer camp.
Yeah. And then it turns into an all-year school thing. Love it. So I think those are the two that I'm thinking would be really interesting. But Christine, what's one or two that you have that you would like to see?
So, adapted? Yes, the Children of Blood and Bone. I think Throne of Glass, I would love to see that as – I think that – actually, I could see that as movies just because there's so many of them. And this is just because I've recently read the first book. I feel like that could be a really cool movie. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to be a show. But that's one. I'd love to see Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo as a film. It might be in production already, as I mentioned this. A Darker Shade of Magic. I loved that series. I would love to see that as a TV show.
Okay.
So I think those are my top right now that I'd love to see adapted.
Mm-hmm. I'm quickly scrolling through my digital library to see if there's anything
else.
Yeah, I think I covered the big ones. Wow, I think we've covered quite a lot. I'm trying to think of like, have we missed anything? And I'm sure we have.
This has already been a long conversation. Quite a long. But yeah, no, we've covered a lot, but there's still so much more that we didn't even, like, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface. And I'm sure like later today or even tomorrow, I'm going to be like, dang it, I wish I brought that up. But anyway, we'll just have to revisit this conversation.
I feel like this will be a yearly topic, at least.
At least. I might even say we got to talk about this like a month from now. No, I'm kidding. But
I think we've probably given our listeners so much to think about.
Yes.
And I would love to hear their thoughts and what they feel like we missed, and give us ideas for the next time we do this topic.
Yes, indeed. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And boy, we have crossed valleys, parapets, mountains, and rivers today. And we hope you enjoyed coming along on this adventure with us. Please share with us the books your soul journeys through. We want to know. You can share with us on our Instagram or comment on this episode, and join us next week where we're digging a little deeper and having a conversation on confidence. We'll see you then.
Enjoying the conversations we're having and the topics we're discussing? Consider supporting us through our Buy Us a Coffee page. We greatly appreciate any help in creating this podcast we love so much. Link in our show notes and Linktree. Before we end, don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platforms, and we'll catch you next time.